Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good? It's Skyline time.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
All right. Welcome back to Casual Conversations. I am your host, Ryan Bean, and we have a very special guest co-host, Amber Rayer, today, filling in for Elena that is on a much-needed vacation with her family out of Disneyland and celebrating their niece's birthday. So hope she's having a great time out there and recharging the batteries.
Shout out to Elena
because she has been crazy busy, and I'm sure she worked the entire time, probably against all of our advice.
Yeah.
So, but I wanted to get Amber on here today. We've talked about changing the format. Sometimes just kind of mixing it up a little bit. And I thought it would be good coming from someone even younger than Elena that's really going to test my boundaries today. So I have no idea what we're getting into, but she said she has some things that she wanted to get off her chest or some topics for today. So what are we getting into? What are we talking about?
I think my biggest thing, at least that I think about now and the things that I struggle with, is just like patience. We live in a world where you can get anything very quickly. If you want a new cover for your fire pit, you can order on Amazon. It's here the next day. So waiting for patience in your workplace, you know, patience with a new role or whatever it may be, patience on a raise, patience on everything.
Yep.
So I think that's one thing that I really struggle with, is just patience in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because like I said, like everything is just so easily accessible. So kind of finding that reminder of, you know, like everything's gonna work out at the end of the day. You just have to be patient and
everything. So it's a great comment. It's a great topic. I think we're all guilty of it. I was the same way you were. So when you look at when I was in my early 20s, especially, I was so career driven. I was so gung ho about getting to the next level. It was, how do I get there as fast as possible? How do I make as much money as fast as possible? How do I surpass, you know, other, you know, men and women my age? And it took a long time to realize that it's much more gratifying when you actually exercise patience. And I think we tend to forget that, and that's because we live in this world where everything is obtainable, and everything is obtainable quickly, that we don't understand that waiting more than a couple days for something, you know, just take for instance Amazon, right? I mean, you can order a package, have it delivered right to your front door, and if you don't get it in 2 days, you're tracking your package to find out where it is.
Mm-hmm.
What is so necessary about that item that you bought that you feel like you're missing out on something in your life, to where it's in the back of your head, where's this package, oh my God, why is it late? And I got a teenage daughter, and she's that way, right? And you start thinking to yourself, wait a minute, if I wanted something back in the day, I actually had to earn the money, save the money, go to the store, pick out that purchase. If they didn't have it, I had to order it or wait for it to come in. And it was almost like waiting for it was like that surprise that came in, right?
Yeah.
So I think in general, we have gotten to this point, and especially in your era right now, we're seeing it all over the world, that our priorities are messed up, and what we value is messed up, and what we we take things for granted way too easy. And I think when you look at you specifically, right, when you look at your career, right, you are someone that has all of this talent. You have surpassed most people when you talk about how fast you got out of high school, how fast you got through the college process, how fast you got into adulthood and went on your own. And I think sometimes, and we talked about this before, it's very hard to recognize what you've achieved, what you've done.
Yeah.
And it's always the next thing. Well, when do you sit back and go, you know what? I'm a young, attractive, smart, funny individual. I have a great personality. I'm a good person. I'm great to people. I got my own place. I take care of myself. I don't rely on anybody to help take care of me. Except for Kai,
her dog. My son.
Her dog relies on her heavily, but it's really easy to forget those things. And again, I'm guilty of it all the time. And, you know, again, I think your generation has been taught the wrong way, because mm-hmm. you guys have been so force-fed products or shopping or, mm-hmm. you know, and you're in a world of comparison, especially when you see people on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, and they give you the appearance
that
everything is going well. Life is great. Just bought my first house. Mm-hmm. Just got my brand new car. You have no idea what kind of debt they took on.
Yeah.
You have no idea, did they inherit money from a family member to buy that house? You have no idea, did someone help them buy that house? You have no idea, is their spouse make a lot of money?
Yeah.
So you end up getting in this world of comparison. And me and Elena have said this numerous times, we stand behind it, is comparison is the theft of joy.
Absolutely.
And you've got to get that stuff out of your head. And you got to think to yourself, the time that you put in is going to be worth it. And you'll have surpassed everything that you thought you would have wanted to achieve. I believe this for you deeply, because I know who you are as a person. You're going to achieve 10 times more than you ever thought was possible in mm-hmm. your life. Because you have you're changing your mindset on, you know what, I'm going to keep my nose down. I'm going to keep working hard. I'm going to chase your passion. My advice to you at this age is chase something you're passionate about. Chase something that you want to do for a living. What's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Right? I understand that you got bills you got to pay. You know, you got to still survive. So I'm not foolish when it comes to that, but you have to say, okay, what other time in your life, you're single, you have no other responsibilities except for yourself. If there's a dream that you want to chase, mm-hmm. chase it. Because I can tell you what you will affect you is when you come to the end of your life mm-hmm. and you realize you were too chicken to take the shot.
Yeah.
And you were too chicken to see things through. And you were too scared to wait the extra year or two or 3 years. And, you know, we talk about this too. Time is valuable for sure. But when you're in your 20s and you think that you're running out of time, it's just foolish. You can, one move changes the whole trajectory of your life.
Yeah. One thing that when looking back, just moving here, trying new things, and this kind of touches on doing things and, you know, putting yourself out there, trying things, because you're going to regret it at the end of the day.
Yep.
When I moved here, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of starting fresh. Like, I have my family out here. But starting fresh friend-wise, because I know like the Wootons and everything, but like kind of starting fresh in that circle. So I like would go on Bumble Friends, try to make friends. But after a while, I would just like shut myself down. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't even want to go out and get coffee with those people. And I was like lacking the motivation to go out and meet people, because I'm like, you know what? I'm fine. I have everything that I need. I have my best friend, Britt, at home, shout out. But I'm like, I don't need any more. But that was one thing that it took me a while to get out of that mindset. And I'm like, I would literally sit there and let's say I had plans with a friend for coffee. I'm like, I don't want to go get coffee. I just want to sit at home all day and do nothing. And it took me a while to rewire that mindset. And I'm like, what is literally the worst that's gonna happen? I'm gonna go get coffee.
Well, why do you think that you wanted to be by yourself? Why do you think you wanted to cancel plans? What do you think triggered that?
I don't even know. Like, I just, maybe it was just the comfort of my own home and not pushing myself out of that comfort zone of my home, because I'm working from home 24/7.
Even more and reason to get out, but yes.
Yeah, exactly. But mm-hmm. And now I'm totally fine, but it was just like a few months where I'm just like, I was super secluded, and I'm like, I just don't know what it was. I mean, once I got over that, I was fine, but that was one thing, and I had to stop myself, and I'm like, you're just gonna regret it at the end of the day, because you didn't go out, you didn't meet new people, you didn't make friends. And that's one thing that I've been trying to work on too, is just going and doing even just the little things, going to Montana, doing that like big vacation right before the week before. I'm like, I just wanna stay home and be with Kai, but I'm like, what is that going to do? That's not going to create any new memories. That's not going to do anything to better me, to work on who I am. That's just going to pull me back and stop me from what I can accomplish. So that was one thing, and just kind of living in the moment and being in the moment. Cause just like you said, like, we're just next, and just kind of taking a moment to like stop and
enjoy.
Enjoy where you're at in life, what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. You can even just live in the moment and take that in and just work on what needs to be fixed.
Well, you know, and again, you know, we remiss not to mention obviously the Charlie Kirk situation, right? And you know, and again, we don't get political on this platform. That's not what this is about. When Elena and I started this podcast, it was very clear on what we were trying to achieve, and we wanted to be of a voice similar to his path, but his is more, religion driven and politics driven. Ours was try to connect with human beings, try to be the best version of yourself you possibly can be while we're constantly working on ourselves. And it's okay, right? It's okay that you want to be secluded. There's okay where you just want some downtime, but it's also you're smart enough to realize I can go down that hole, and it's a hole that a lot of people go down, and it's almost irreversible, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know people in your inner circle or people, family members, whatever. We don't need to mention names of people that are very comfortable never leaving their home. Being secluded from human connection, being secluded from their coworkers. They go to work, they punch a clock, they go home, or if they, even worst case, if they work from home. And I will tell you this, that the one principle that he stood on, and I agree with it to my very core, is that the moment you lose human connection and human interaction and the ability to talk to other people and learn about them and learn their stories and learn about what makes them tick, what are they interested in, what motivates them, what's their story, where do they come from, why are they in the situation they're in, the moment we lose track of that, that's not the world we want to live in. That's just, you're going to have so much regret in your life. And I think, like I said, and we talk about this and I've talked to you about it, is although I'm on these social media platforms because it also can be the messaging for good, and it's just the way of the world now. So my and Elena's goal has always been to put good in the world, to make people look at things differently, to make them realize their true potential. You're there. You have so much potential in this world. You don't even realize it yet. You're seeing things come together for you in your life, but I don't think you have any true clue of what you're actually capable of doing in this life. And it may not be a money thing, it may not be a success thing, there's just so many things you can do. And the easy thing to do, and what most people do, is they continue to shut themselves away from human connection. And that's just not me. I just think it's a waste of this precious time that we have here. And you know, like I said, we bring up Charlie's thing, which is a complete tragedy. He was 31 years old. It's not promised. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is not promised. And we say it so casually now because we never think it's going to happen to us.
Yeah.
We never think it's going to affect us personally. And I can tell you right now, it does affect us. It can affect us personally. Now, we've been blessed and grateful that things like that I haven't had to deal with, you know, personally, but doesn't mean that it can't happen, right? Mm-hmm. So that's just the way I've always been. I've looked at life. I love people.
Yeah.
I want to be around people. I have no problem talking to people. And sometimes that means putting my foot in my mouth. That sometimes means, and I got to be okay with that,
yeah.
right? I got to be okay with, you know, talking out of both sides of my mouth sometimes. I got to be okay with the blowback that you get from introverts or people mm-hmm. that don't want to talk to people. But that's just who that's I am just, as a person.
And that's just life.
That's just life.
Yeah.
But I would tell you this. You're in your mid-20s with so much promise of what you can do. And I have no doubt in my mind you're going to impact this world and you're going to impact it so positively that you don't even see it coming. And I would urge you to chase what you're passionate about. Obviously, like I said, pay your bills. But if you're, you know, you're great on the social media stuff, you're great at the videos and editing and all. And if that's something you love to do, go all in on that. All your downtime, all your spare time, go into become, how am I going to be the best version of Amber in that space? I want to learn more about it. And you might find when you start to research stuff, you know what? I like this, but I just found something else that I'm really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Go all in on that. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Right? You're an employable person. You are going.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
To get a job, there's too many people out there that need employees like you, and that used to scare me for a long time. You know, I looked at my life, and I was, especially when you start having a family, it's a little bit different because they rely heavily on me mm-hmm. to provide. But you know, as I've gotten older, as I've gotten more experienced, and I know what I bring to the table, I don't worry about that, about having a job, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do the best I possibly can for my employers, for my company, for my staff. And at the end of the day, if that's not enough, then I got to move on.
Yeah.
And you got to find something else that you can go do. But I could tell you, I have learned a lot of patience over the years, and I have found that things have come to me faster because I stopped focusing on mm-hmm. the next thing.
Yeah.
I focused on me, and I think you're doing that, right? You just did the 75-day hard. You have discipline when most kids your age do not. And I call her a kid. She's like a sister to me. But you have, you know, you look what you've already accomplished.
Yeah.
You got through college in 2.5 years. Most people take 4 or 2 years, whatever you did.
I did college faster. 4.
Okay,
I did college 4, but high school 3.
There you go, high school 3. So high school 3 years, college 4 years, but you finished it, you did it, you kept your nose to the grindstone, you saw it through. You are very, very good. And what I'm so impressed with when it comes to you is if you start something, you finish it. And that is something employers want, right? So if you know that about yourself, mm-hmm. if you know you have that gear inside you, that if you put your mind to something, you're gonna see it through, why not do that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, going and being so determined and doing everything, and like I said, just wanting that instant gratification. But
what do you feel like you're missing out on? When you say instant gratification, what do you mean what do you mean specifically?
I mean, if I'm thinking about just like things that I'm being like impatient on, like currently right now,
uh-huh.
I'm being impatient on finding a godly spouse or godly
yep.
boyfriend, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for right now my age, like everyone will just go on and go on like Hinge, go on Bumble, go on Tinder. Mm-hmm. And I tried that when I first moved out here and I'm like, this is just not for me. Like, I don't think I'm gonna find my forever person on one of these things, because it's just, I mean.
Do you think you're gonna find that forever person if you're in your house all the time?
No, and I'm not in my house all the time. I'm going out, I'm doing things.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of just one thing that I've been so impatient about, and like realizing that God's timing, like there's beauty in waiting. There's beauty in patience. You're constantly growing. You're constantly figuring out what you want to do in life. Like that's just one thing that I struggle with is everyone, seeing everyone around you too, bringing back social media, seeing everyone around you getting married, getting engaged, doing all those things. And you're just like looking at it like, oh, but then I always remind myself, there's always a story behind the picture. Those people might not be as happy as they look online, just like you were mentioning. So that's just something that is
And I will tell you, it's really easy at your age, because you know, you'll see that these friend groups, right, they all get married around the same age. Mm-hmm. They start having kids around the same age. And I think a big part of it is because you want to hang on to that group. And I think there's a fear. There's a fear that, okay, if your best friend, let's say your best friend found her dream guy a month from now, okay? Mm-hmm. A year later, they get married, right? Part of you is going to feel like, okay, I'm going to be missing my friend, because my friend's now her priority is her husband, mm-hmm. which 100% should be.
Yeah.
And vice versa. His priority becomes his wife. And it should be, right? And I will tell you that I've seen multiple people rush into it because they feel like it's just the next chapter.
Yeah.
I've dated this person. I'm comfortable with this person. So I don't want to break up with them, because I couldn't imagine hurting them. I couldn't imagine breaking their hearts. I couldn't imagine doing those things. So I guess just the next step would be married. Mm-hmm. And we see it fail numerous times over and over again. And I was never afraid to have those hard conversations. Like before I met Allison, I was in a serious relationship. I actually lived with another female. And it was shortly after I moved in with her. At the time, I realized there's no way that I can marry this woman. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because she was bad. It was just we didn't connect on so many different levels that I had to have that tough conversation. And it was not pretty. It was a ugly breakup. It was a mess. We lived together. It was now getting stuff out of the house. It's just I knew that there were certain standards I had for myself. And I would urge people to, when you set those standards, it's okay to have standards, but don't make your standards so out of reach that you're searching for perfection, because mm-hmm. you're never gonna get it.
Yeah.
What I would tell you to do is, you know you're a catch. Everybody in our group knows you are. Everybody that's around you knows you are. The right one is gonna come in, and it's gonna be when you're not looking for it, you're not expecting it, you're not trying to force it. It's going to happen to you. And it happened to me with my wife. And it was the most important decision I ever made. And I tell people all the time, picking the right spouse, and I think, I might get crucified for this, but I think a lot of people have picked spouses because of the reasons I said earlier. They don't want to break up. It's the next step. We've kind of been together. We're comfortable with each other. What drove me to Allison was she pushed me to be better.
Yeah.
She made me realize I had more potential. She made me want more out of life. And I think I did the same thing for her. And if you have someone, if you don't have someone that's going to constantly push you, and you push them, and you're in it together, and you want to see the very best out of those people, but you also give 100% of yourself to them. You know, I look at Allison every day, and it's like, when I look at my wife, it's how do I become a better husband for you? How do I become a better father for my kids? It's not about me. It's about how I can be better for them. She feels the same way about me. How do I become a better wife? How can I be a better mother? What are we doing differently? What do we have to change? What is working? What's not working? And it's not forced.
Yeah.
And some of those things come natural. You're going to find that person. And the best piece of advice I can give you is be with the person that pushes your buttons, mm-hmm. but does it out of love and respect, tells you the truth, wants the best out of you, wants to support you, wants to take care of you, wants to provide for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. We as a society have gotten so far out of whack on this. The women has to be able to do this, and the women has to be able to do everything the man can do, and the man has... No. There are certain things that are God-given gifts that for women that women have that men will never have, and vice versa. It's designed that way, right? And it's not to try to get too religious with you or whatever, but you mentioned trying to find a godly man. And I think the way you do it is you continue to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Because guess what? That same guy that you're looking for is putting himself in uncomfortable situations. He's going to the coffee shop when he didn't want to. He's going to a friend's house when he didn't want to. He's going to a party when he's the single guy and all of his friends have got girlfriends and they're married and they're starting having kids and he's still the single guy. Yeah. And yet he keeps putting himself out there and he's like, and as the years go by, it's like, okay, it's not going to happen for me. It's not going to work for me. No, what it means is when it happens for you, it's the real deal. Yeah. And when it happens for you, you now have a lifelong partner. And when you have that lifelong partner, there's nothing you guys can't get through, no matter what life throws at you.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. And does that mean it's not going to come with turmoil? No. Does that mean it's not going to come with fighting? No. We fight all the time, but we fight the right way. It's not, there's the respect level is at a the highest level it possibly can. It doesn't mean we always agree. We disagree a lot, but that's a good thing. The disagreement is a good thing because then when you find that middle ground, you realize that, okay, on to the next thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's my advice to you. And I would say that you're, you know, it's going to happen. And it's going to literally happen when you are, when it's completely out of your mind.
Yeah.
So.
That's something I always tell myself, but it's always just hard when you're in it, you know?
Yeah. But when you know what you bring to the table, you know what kind of person you are, you know how much love you have in your heart. I think you're going to be a phenomenal mother one day. I think you're going to be a phenomenal wife one day. I think you have endless potential, and when I say that, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And you are going to see things come together for you in your life that you never thought was imaginable, right? If I had told you, just fast forward to today, okay? Go back to when you were 20, a few years ago, okay? A few years ago. Where were you at 20? Still living at home? Barely can get on by yourself. Probably still living off your mom. Not, you know, maybe not. Maybe you're not.
Just graduated college mid-COVID.
Okay, where are you? Yeah, tell me.
Living with my mom still. I moved out at 20 or 21. I was working at Dave & Buster's.
How much an hour were you making?
Ooh, I don't remember. Maybe like 19, 20.
Okay.
I can't even think. It was so long ago, but that's like probably.
It wasn't long ago.
It's long for me. I can't even remember last week.
I know, because that's what I'm saying is that we get so wrapped up in where are we at today, and you don't realize you have come a long way.
Absolutely.
And you were patient through that process, right? So, and again, are you where you want to be today? No. Okay, you're not. So what choices are you making every day to change that? And it has to be, like I said, it comes with work. To everyone that's listening, it comes with work. It's not going to be handed to you, but you have the control to be who you want to be, to do what you want to do. It just depends on what kind of effort you want to put into it, right? And if you are like, you know what, I really want to find that guy, you're going to put the effort towards it.
Yeah.
Ask yourself that question. How much effort are you really putting in to going to meet new people? How many social situations are you putting yourself in to go find that guy? How often are you doing the after the church functions where they go in whatever retreats or whatever they do, right? How often are you doing those things?
Yeah.
And if the answer is not enough, then are you putting yourself in the situations? No, you're doing what most people do, me included. We'll sit back. It's like my weight or how I want to get fit. Complain. Well, Ryan, when's the last time you worked out? Oh, like 5 days ago? Well, if you want to get in shape that bad, is that important to you? You would be working out every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how much are you watching your food? Oh, well, decent.
Yeah.
Okay, well, decent isn't mean strict, right? So it's what's the priorities to you, right? And but you can't force it. And I think if you're comparing yourself to wherever your friends may be or people your age, you got to stop doing that. And yeah. I'd give that advice to anybody out there. I would say just put yourselves in the situations that are going to help you get to those things, yeah. right? And to meet that right guy. But you got to put yourself out there to do that.
Yeah, I think you mentioned in another podcast, and I am going to completely slaughter this, but I think you said something along the lines.
I do it all the time, doesn't matter.
I think you said something along the lines of, like, life hands you the door, you just have to open it. Mm-hmm. Something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe me or Elena, but yeah. absolutely, is the door.
It's always there.
It's up to you to walk through mm-hmm. it. It's up to you to walk That's through it. And guess what? If the door's locked, find a window, mm-hmm. right? You have to create opportunities for yourself, and you got to get rid of the victim mentality. You got to get rid of the woe is me. You have to get rid of, oh, this person's in this part of their life, and what am I doing wrong because they're 2 years younger than me? How'd they already meet the man of their dreams? Mm-hmm. How'd they already meet their spouse? Oh my God, they're already having kids, and I'm still, I'm still by myself with just me and my dog. That's what that social media platform is designed to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell people all the time, you can't get rid of it,
yeah.
but you certainly can limit it.
Absolutely.
And, I think the Elena mentioned on the last podcast, which was spot on accurate, is give yourself an hour. Mm-hmm. Cool, I'm gonna use this hour of a day from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's when I get caught up on my social media. I don't wanna feel like I'm not responding to people. I don't wanna feel like I'm not out there. I'll post something about my kids and then boom, it's done.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's done more harm than good.
Yeah, I set a timer literally yesterday on your phone. You can set like a screen timer to stop, like lock yourself out of social media.
I love it.
And that's what I did. I set it up for an hour, and I think I was at like a church function or something, and they were like, unfollow the people that you are comparing yourself to. Unfollow those people. Like, yes. What good is it bringing in your life? So I started doing that, and I mean, now I'm doing like more reading time, and it's just totally shifted my mentality on things.
And look where you're at right yeah. now. Now all of a sudden you're pushing yourself to go, I just want to be home more. I want to be home more. I'm just comfortable here. Oh, mm-hmm. Kai's cuddle with you. Let's watch a movie. Oh, I'll just hang out, watch this sitcom. Oh, I'll just scroll. And again, guys, I'm guilty of it more than anybody. And I admit it openly. I am absolutely addicted to Facebook. Okay. And the reason I say that is because no matter what's going on, at least every hour, I'm looking at something. And yeah. it's not about the notification. I can care less yeah. about that. Or any like
why. Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Likes. Memory, clicking
yeah,
back into
correct.
It.
Correct. Yep. It's the likes on my post. I don't pay attention to any yeah. of that crap. I just don't. But I went back and forth with a family member yesterday on there, and I'm like, what value is this bringing me? Mm-hmm. It's not bringing me any value. And even though I feel like I need to be a voice to a certain degree on certain things or show people a different perspective, and I'm not going to stop doing that, it still consumes way too much yeah. of my time, way too much of my energy. And it's like, okay, that same time could be spent with my kids, with my wife, with my friends, working out, whatever, yeah. right? And it's designed that way.
Yeah.
And like you said, it circles right back to your patience thing at the beginning of this podcast. It forces you to not be patient because it's instant. If you post something and someone can like it within seconds, and it's that dopamine hit yeah. that you want to go in there and see, oh my gosh, I've had 57 views and I look at all these hearts I have on there. How many people liked my post? It's gratifying. Mm-hmm. And for us to sit there and say that it's not, we're lying to ourselves. It absolutely is. I like seeing those things, right? Or people say, oh my God, your daughter's so beautiful, or your wife is so beautiful. Dopamine. Mm-hmm. And you feed more on that. But then I realize how much time I spend just scrolling, and I'm watching small TikTok clips, and I'm watching, yeah, there's some things on there that are funny and,
yeah.
But there's
but
nothing
the
on there. Yeah, the yeah. ratio. It's ads, it's crap, it's the clips, and then you make a judgment call off of a clip that they show, and you're going, wait a minute, okay, I don't think that person really would say it like that. What was the back story of that mm-hmm. conversation that led to that reaction?
Yeah.
What was the whole conversation? And then go, okay, they were talking about this, which led to that comment, yeah. but they show you a 20-second clip or 30-second clip, and then it's like that person's made out to be the hero. That person's made out to be a bad person. Yeah. It's like, again, it's bringing us so little value. And like I said, I'm limiting it. I'm gonna get off it as much as possible. It's been very challenging to do, especially the last few days, just more from a spiritual reason. But other than that, it's, you know, we didn't have this crap before, right? And you didn't have constant entertainment. You had to entertain yourself. And although those things are nice on road trips and you can listen to your music and you can watch a movie and it helps you stay entertained for that downtime, in my opinion, you miss out on so much more. Honestly, you do. You miss out on so many more things in life. So, you know, patience is a virtue, and it is an important one, and it is one that I am certainly not good at yet, but I am a hell of a lot further along than I was when I was your age. And I've had to be, you know, becoming a parent helps you do that. As you move up in your career and people are relying on you, you have to be more patient. And I would just tell you that the things that you're being impatient about, most kids your age are impatient about the same things because they want to see their life start to take shape. Mm-hmm. And they want to get married, they want to have families, well, most. And the clock, you think to yourself, is the clock ticking, and there's no, if you don't get married in this time frame, that you're off schedule. There's no schedule.
Everyone has a different timeline.
Yeah, it's like having kids, right? Yeah. Well, I need to have my kids within the first 2 or 3 years of marriage. Who said who?
Mm-hmm.
Says who?
Yeah.
You can have the kid 10 years in, right? It's when you and your family, your spouse are ready, right? But I would also tell people, like, you're never going to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
So have as many kids as you possibly can. And I shouldn't say this out loud because my wife, if she ever listens to me, she'd probably get mad. But now looking back, I wish I would have had more kids. Especially now that my kids are almost grown. And, you know, back then it was the money thing. It was, how do we afford 2 kids? How are we going to help put them through school? Mm-hmm. How are we going to help them if they need help? You know, are we going to be in a position? And we are worrying about the wrong things instead of just saying, wow, let's bring a life into this world. Let's mold them to be the best people they possibly can. And hopefully they create more life and they create better people around them and they make them, they are a positive impact on multiple mm-hmm. people. We should have looked at it differently, right? And but it is what it is. And you know, part of me, I say that now, but trust me, there's other times I'm like, oh my gosh, thank God I had 2.
Well, you
thank
know
God
what?
I had 2.
You know what? You have 2, and then there's an adoptive one. Because there's, honestly, you're more of a father figure to me than I think you know.
Well, I appreciate
that. Like I know I say it to you all the time, you and Allison, but you guys, like, coming out here
we
every summer. Like, you guys helped raise me. So.
Oh, we love you. And you got, like I said, you got an amazing mother. And, you know, you have, you know, your dad's still in your life. And you have a dad. And, you know, and it's unfortunate that, you know, that your family, you know, got divorced and moved on and those type of things. But, you know, for me, it's, I know what you're capable of doing. And you're going to start to see it. I know you know part of it, but I don't think it's like my brother. I used to have this conversation with my brother all the time, and we just recently talked about it, probably about a month ago, seeing where he is in his life today. And he's like, you saw this before I saw it. Mm-hmm. And I said, dude, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
You can't stop it now because your mindset is in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Your mindset is in the place to where you're not focused on the next. You're not focused on where you're going to be. You're focusing on your being your best self. And if you do those things every day, all of a sudden you look up and all these things just kind of worked out for you. And you're going, wait a minute, how did it all work out?
Yeah, when did this happen?
Because you didn't worry about those things working out. You just said, I'm going to go do what I can into the best of my ability every mm-hmm. single day. Does that mean you're not going to stumble? No, you're going to stumble a lot. You're going to fail a lot. Fall in love with it. Fall in love with failing because it's life's greatest teachers. And you know what's going to teach you the most patience, Amber? It's going to be failing and failing a lot. And you're going to throw things at the wall and you're going to think it sounded great. And then all of a sudden it didn't work out, but you learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you learn from those things and then you apply it to your life, you're unstoppable. There's nothing you can't accomplish. There's really not. So.
Yeah.
What else you got for me? What else do you want to get off your chest? Besides the patience thing, hopefully that was some advice that helps you.
No, that was fantastic advice. When you were starting your career, when you were, let's say, like around my age, that's when you started your career, right?
I started my career with my company when I was 21. Actually, I take that back. I just turned 22, literally just turned 22. August 11th, 2003 is when I, okay. So I just turned 22.
So what like motivated you? How did you move your fears or whatnot just and push it into motivation?
So back then, you know, it was money motivated. So it was, I didn't want to be poor. I grew up struggling. I've said that openly on this podcast before. And, you know, I think my mom and dad did the best they could, but I think that they thought that they had all the time in the world to change careers. They thought things would work out differently. And then, but they didn't do much to change their situation. So I'll take that back. I don't know that they thought there was all the time in the world. I think they just got very comfortable. Mm-hmm. I think they got very content, and they got content with the life that we led. And no fault to them at all. I mean, they taught me a lot about work. They taught me a lot about morals, how to treat people, how to respect other people, how to be kind, how to have a soul, how to have a heart for people, how to connect with people, because my mom and dad both did a phenomenal job with that. They loved people as well. Mm-hmm. They were very social. They loved being around people. They loved gatherings. But they were very simple people as well. And I think back in the day when we didn't have phones, you compared yourself. And I compared myself to my friends. And on paper, and again, I don't know what they were going through, but just perception was that they had everything going for them, and they can afford name brand clothes, and they had name brand shoes, and they had nice cars when they were 16, and they went off to college, and their parents paid for their college. And you know, I just was never in that situation. So when I left the house, I moved out right before I turned 18, and I never looked back. I just was so driven on money. It was more about how do I get myself to a point where I can make a good living, where I don't have to struggle to pay my bills, where I can live comfortably and not worry about my power being turned off or how I was gonna pay for groceries that month or that week or whatever it was. And it was driven by that. And then when I got into this company and realized that there was so much opportunity, I realized, okay, this is a place where I can really thrive. I have the right work ethic. I have the right, I didn't have the right mentality back then. I had the right work ethic and I had the right drive. I'll use that word to be successful. But man, I look back and I got along with everybody, but I was not an easy person to work with. I wasn't patient. I would constantly harp on my guys if they did things incorrectly or wrote orders up incorrectly or pulled orders wrong, or you know, if they gave me bad news, I went right to anger and those type of things. And because I was so focused on my own soul career, I was so focused on making a name for myself. I was so focused on getting promoted. That's why I moved, right? I moved from Sacramento to the Bay Area and then the Bay Area to Texas. It was like, okay, where's the next thing? Where's the next opportunity? Where's the next, job that I can go chase another $5,000 a year, $10,000 a year. And I stopped thinking about, okay, if I put my nose down, where's the opportunity? And it took my bosses, and thank God I had them, to be honest with you, because I wanted to get back to Portland. Portland was the number one branch I wanted to be in. I wanted to live in Oregon. That's where I wanted to be. It was out of California, but close enough to where I can go see family and friends. Allison and I had obviously traveled up there a lot for work because I have a lot of suppliers up there. And I still love Oregon. Shout out to Oregon. And I go up there as much as I possibly can because I still love it there. But I remember that opportunity opened up and the president of my company called me and he said, Ryan, I've got some unfortunate news. I know you want the Portland branch. The Portland branch, as you know, has opened up because I put in for it. Mm-hmm. And he said, but I think, one, we've already filled it internally, and two, I think you don't really realize how much potential you have there in Texas, and I really think you'd be doing your career a disservice if you moved. I think that you've got so much opportunity in Texas to really shine and make that career for yourself that you boast about, that you want, and get to the income level that you want, and thankfully, that's what I did, and I took their advice and I didn't put in for other positions, even though they opened up in the company. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to go all in on Texas. I love Texas. I love the people here. I had a great boss. I had an understanding boss. But we had a lot of runway. We had a lot of runway for growth. We still do. Mm-hmm. And it's 20 years later. I've been here for 20 years and I'm like, we're still just scratching the surface of what's available. But I will tell you this, what we're doing today, if you would have asked Ryan 10 years ago, so we talk about patience, if you would have asked me 10 years ago what my goal would be for this location before I retired, I've already surpassed that goal.
That's amazing.
So that's what is in, you know, you start thinking to yourself going, okay, it was even bigger than I thought it was 10 years ago. And now that I've passed that, now it's okay, what's the next big, well, how big can we get this thing?
Yeah.
Right? And that's the mind shift change I'm talking about when you start going to yourself, like there's so much more you can do. And then you start, then you achieve more and you're going, wait a minute, there's still more. There's still more that I can do. And it's not even about the accolades now. Now it's about how many opportunities can I provide other people? Mm-hmm. How many careers can I help mold? How many livelihoods can I help create? How many kids can go to t-ball and dance and ballet and jiu-jitsu and karate? And you start thinking about your staff and their kids and their families and going, wow, I have an opportunity to impact so many people's lives and make them have a great life. And all your motivation shifts to that. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden what happens is people go, man, Ryan, you've gotten so much further ahead in your life. You're successful, you've made good money, you've got a great career, and it became so less focused on me where I was a decade ago. And I had to be patient with myself, and I had to be patient in the process, trust the process, and teach these young kids and show these young kids what kind of life they can have. And I'm telling you right now, not only is my life so much more rewarding by doing it that way, I've also gotten more things in my life because of that mentality. That is something I would tell you to urge yourself to do, is when you put yourself into others, and you put, and I'm not saying don't focus on yourself, be the best version of yourself, take care of yourself, eat right, be healthy, that goes without saying. Mm-hmm. But just in general, if you find something that you're passionate about, or you find a career that you love, go all in on the people. Because if you go all in on the people around you, things are going to come back to you tenfold, because your mindset's going to be in the right spot.
Yeah. Thinking about just like you wanting to go to Oregon, how do I word this? You kind of had a dream per se, like going to Oregon, and you were directed to Texas. But thinking about, like you were mentioning, all the people that you have helped, I mean, I'm sure you helped create a bunch of jobs in Texas by the growth of the branch and doing all that. So it's kind of just rewarding. And you mentioning like looking back and seeing where you were at X years ago, X months ago, that I feel like has helped put into perspective just kind of the patience and like, hey, I've gotten this far. I know that.
Yeah, I've gotten to where I am. But guys, I'm 22 years in, right? You're 5 years in. Mm-hmm. So when you are 4 years into your career, 3 years in, and again, this may not be your career. This may not be what you want to do long term. You may want to, again, you're still trying to figure out who you are. You're still trying to figure out who you are as a person. Do I think that you know the core values of you? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But do I feel like you found your passion yet? No. Do I think you're going to find your passion? Absolutely, I do. And once you do, and again, I really enjoyed this job, this career, because it continued to offer opportunity to me. I always felt like there was more I can go do. There was more I can achieve. There was more I could do to move my career forward. I think where a lot of people lose motivation is when they are in a career or a job where they're going, okay, here's the ceiling. Where am I going to go from here? Okay, I've already got two or three bosses in front of me. Mm-hmm. They're in their 30s or 40s. They're not going anywhere. And they're the only ones that are making the money. There's no other opportunities. And then people lose motivation because they don't see where the future lies. So then people have to go create their own future. You got to go find something that's going to help you carve out the future that you want. That is within your control. Does that mean you might have to work nights? Does that mean you might have to work weekends? Does that mean you might have to sacrifice something? Yes. None of it comes without sacrifice. I sacrifice my personal time all the time. To this day, I still do, right? Mm-hmm. I'm nowhere near where I want to be because I know that I can build this thing even bigger. I can create more. So yes, there's sacrifice that's going to have to come from it, but it also took a great deal of patience. It took a great deal of patience from my bosses, right? Because I screwed up. I still screw up all the time. I've cost the company money. I've cost my boss's sanity. I've cost my bosses maybe their hair, and you know, and I've driven them crazy, right? But it took them to see the potential in me when I didn't see it in myself. And I think now that I've gotten more seasoned, I recognize talent. I recognize people that, like yourself, that have all of the makings to have a wonderful life, even though you don't see it yet. As the years go by, you'll see it, and then it's going to be up to you to recognize that in somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's going to be up to you to motivate that next person or persons that say, you know what, you have it all going for you. You just got to, you've got to trust the process in you. There's no shortcuts to it. You've got to do it and do it the right way. And, but you have the ability and you have the drive and you've got the passion to get there, but it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. But I will tell you also, it's so much more rewarding when it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what you bought from Amazon last week?
Actually, nothing. I'm so proud of myself.
In general, right? If I told somebody, what did you buy from Amazon a week ago?
Yeah.
They're like, they have to think about it. But wait a minute. You were so worried about when it was going to show up to your house, but you don't even remember what you bought.
Yep.
And what that goes to show you is that these things that you're doing, these things that you buy, it's that little dopamine hit to make you feel good about doing something. But in the big scheme of things, it's so meaningless, and it doesn't affect your life one way or the other. You can't even remember it.
Yeah.
If you ask, like you said, you ask, hey, what did you get for Christmas last year? People would have to really think about it. What is that telling you? But you know what? But I remember I had this great family dinner, and oh my God, me and mom had this great conversation, and that's what you're going to hold on to.
Yeah.
You're going to hang on to that type of stuff. And again, that's when it all goes back to anything in life worth getting is when you put the work into it. It's so much more rewarding. It's like getting the trophy. That's why I'm so against participation trophies, because what you're doing is you're taking away from the work it took the person to get there, right? Mm-hmm. It takes that value away from them when they know the blood, sweat, and tears it took to achieve that. That's the feeling that you should get. The feeling of you not earning it, you're diminishing the whole feeling. You're taking that feeling, you're robbing people of that feeling that what it takes to truly achieve something. Look what you just did with your health when you did the 75 days. And at the end of it, and I guarantee you there were so many days you wanted to slip up. There were so many days you're like, you know what? I'm in day 30. What's a cup of coffee gonna do, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I want that. Or what's one bad meal gonna do for me? You know, look at how great I did. And you're so fast to pat yourself on the back about how far you did, but then you told yourself, no, I'm gonna see this thing through.
Mm-hmm.
And how much more rewarding was it at the end when you said, I did it. I did it for 75 days. It's like me when I gave up alcohol for Lent.
Mm-hmm.
And it went from a 40 day for 40 days. And I'm like, you know what? Let me see how far I could push this.
Yeah.
And then 40 days turned into 6 months. And it's like, it's literally was 6 months. And I was like, man, I don't feel like I missed anything. Mm-hmm. And it was just so much more. The feeling of just doing it and knowing that I had it in me to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And next I'm going to do another challenge.
Oh my gosh. What's your challenge?
Winter Arc, which is kind of similar to like 75 Hard. It's just another mental.
Maybe I'll do it with you. Maybe
Let's
I'll do it with you.
Let's do
but
it.
But. So I got a challenge with Elena.
Okay. What's your guys' challenge?
Well, mine was to be at a certain weight by the end of the year.
Yeah.
I think I have a shot at
getting there. We can push that into the winter arc.
Okay, we could do that, but I'm not giving up coffee. I'm sorry to put that out there.
I won't either.
Okay. Guys, I'm sorry. You know, my one vice is coffee. I love coffee so much. But such a great conversation. It was great to hear from youth, right? And I think there's a lot of, you know, people your age that are struggling with the same things you're struggling with is you're seeing, you feel like you're not moving along fast enough. And I think it's a very normal feeling because I went through it as well. And yes, it seems, and I would tell the people ahead of me that said, Ryan, be patient. And I kept telling them, yeah, it's easy for you to say because you're already there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's absolutely accurate. And it's a lot more rewarding having the patience to see it through. And I just think it makes you so much more well-rounded as a person in general, because not only does that lead to your livelihood or whatever, it allows you to become more patient with people. And it allows you to be more open-minded to people. And I think that's important.
Absolutely.
I really do. So anyway, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Shout out to Elena. hope you had a great time in Disneyland, and and we miss you. And yeah, anyway, to everyone that's listening to us, thank you. Continue to like us, share us. If you think this connected with you, please, you know, we try to be family friendly on this as much as possible. And you know, I think this is a good message for our youth and our kids that are coming up behind us. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. It's, we owe a responsibility to the next generation to have them look at things a different, from a different light. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
and shout out to Gary Vee.
Gary Vee, one of these days, like I said, it's manifest because I love that guy. So, but again, he does it the right way. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye.